This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of. Welcome back, Doc, and how's the self-isolation going? You have been our responsible partner again. This is the second podcast that you, after your trip to the USA, have self-isolated. How are you doing?
It's not easy, Gordon. I guess, you know, you're so used to being up and about and doing things. But I guess, you know, people just work. And the interesting part of the equation, and not just for me, but for people globally, is it teaches you a different discipline, you know. And I guess companies that have been doing remote working, it's less of an adjustment for them. People who haven't, well, it's obviously more of an adjustment. And I think, you know, as one moves into the modern way of working, remote workers and that, this is going to become the norm. So it's quite an interesting experiment anyway in terms of adjusting and adapting.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's been for you. Well, I mean, I'm lucky enough to feel it in studio again, and this time we've got Sechaba Matswela. How do I pronounce it? Help me out here.
Sechaba,
yeah. Matswela, yeah, the wrong one. Yeah, completely the wrong name. So, but, you know, as in his capacity here, I mean, he's a multifaceted marketer. Our paths crossed. We were talking about our time together at McDonald's. 2010 World Cup was a highlight for us. But, you know, in your capacity today as the interim CEO of MASA, Marketing Association SA. So thanks for being in studio.
Yeah.
Just to give us a bit of a background, I mean, most of us grew up with the Institute of Marketing Management, but we've had a new body which has been there for some years now. What's the status of MASA? What's the status of the membership? Are you growing? Is it gathering momentum?
Yes. I mean, the last couple of years, about 3 years, we have been building capacity, relooking at our strategy to grow membership, to package the value proposition, as well as just making sure that we remain relevant. We are at a stage now where we want to go into the market and now talk about what we've been up to. What we are finding is that we do have a couple of members that are lapsed. So we're going to have to up our communication back to them to be able to give them a sense of what the benefits are going forward. We do also have active members that over the years have always known that we cannot not have a voice as marketers, because in the past when we didn't have a voice, the industry moved ahead and we were left behind. Some of the disasters that happened is the collapse of how as an industry we collect funds to support everything that we need to do, from research to awards to whatever. So at the moment we really want to make sure that our value proposition is strong. We look at the strategy that we have had and we bring that to the market. And we are very proud of the work that we have done to clean up the chartered marketer designation, so pretty much as a professional way of cleaning the profession. We are very proud of that work. So when somebody looks at a chartered marketer or a marketing practitioner now, we know that we have done all the good work in the last couple of years.
Yeah, Doug, I mean, you are you a lapsed member? Are you an old member? Are you an enthusiastic new member? I think part of the difficulty is in the old membership was invested in the person, but this is now, or is it the other way around now?
It's both. So we do have corporates as members of the Marketing Association, and then we do have individuals as members. Also, when we talk about members, being a chartered marketer in good standing also makes you a member to a large extent. So, and also we have institutions like academic institutions that have joined also, that brings a little bit of, it's not complexity, but slightly different, because as a whole we want to make sure that the individual, the industry, the academic institutions or training bodies are part of one ecosystem, so that the type of person who works in our profession can be utilized across the board.
Oh, well, that's great. And I think, Gordon, to answer your question, embarrassingly, I don't know. You know, I know I did it. And for years, I still periodically use the CM designation. But I it's one of those things that when I say I did it, I did, I don't know, 15 years ago, maybe more, you know. And so I think it's important for me, and I guess other people like me, to go and revisit it, to go and see where I am. What do I need to do to be reactivated, if you like, and to be a contributing member? Because, you know, a lot of people, I think, have a lot of value to add. They perhaps don't know how to, or they're saying, and one of the worst things is people collect designations, you know, for the sake of, and that's the last thing we want as a body, is people walking around with CM on the back of their name, as opposed to, say, CA, which is very different, you know, with these active continuous development and professional points, etc. So I think from my side, and I guess other marketers out there, I'd encourage, well, starting with myself, to go revisit it and stick my hand up and say, how do I rejig my my application or my membership?
Yeah, the website is quite comprehensive, Doug. If you go onto the MASA website, in terms of getting your status and getting back on track, is a well laid out process now. And we would love to have everybody that was active back into the profession, because we are at a point where we need to upskill everybody. We need to just keep up with the pace of change. When I started marketing a long time ago, there wasn't anything around social media. In fact, you are even lucky if you could have a budget to do cinema. So things have changed quite a lot, and it's important that we are all up to speed with our development.
Yeah, I think from a media and an agency perspective, at Saatchi and Saatchi back in the day, we had a phrase which said, "Give me the freedom of a tight brief." If your client knows what he wants from you and tells you clear terms what is required, it gives you a certain freedom to do your work. And I think we celebrate good clients, and it is really important to have a body like MASA that is guaranteeing us a flow of good brand managers to work with, because that's going to enable us to do our jobs a lot better as well.
Definitely, there's nothing worse than being briefed by somebody who can't give you a tight brief, and anything that you do is going to hit it, but then at that point in time, now you get into arguments around, it's not quite what I wanted, but then it didn't define what you wanted. A couple of years ago, while I was still the marketing director at McDonald's, this was in 2008, 2009, we got all the marketing leads around the world in one room, and they gave us some tests to check our digital literacy. And I scored a fantastic 3 out of 10. And the message there was, if anybody who scored 8 and below was digitally illiterate and no longer qualified to lead a marketing function.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were given two options: to upskill, which is why the workshop was being run, or to vacate our position so that we do not hold the brand back. Because it means that if you are the final decision maker and you are not where the consumers were, you will be missing the mark in terms of the communication that you approve, missing the mark in terms of just the effort of getting to a solution. And that was not acceptable. So I'm hoping that when people get designated and marketers look at the profession quite seriously, that will get to a point where people realize that for them to advance the brands and the businesses, they really have to have their competencies and skill up to scratch.
Doc, you've had global exposure, and you just come back from the States. What's your view on that?
Absolutely, Gordon. You know, and I think, you know, it's like in any discipline, you know, and you look at some of the checkbooks, and I use that term in inverted commas, the budgets that are being controlled by people, they have to be competent. There's no doubt. And I mean, you know, just one aspect of that is the digital aspect. But I mean, I'm sometimes horrified by talking to people and the low level of skill across many disciplines, you know, and it almost becomes somebody else's problem. You know, it's vague because the person doesn't understand the business challenge or where the company is, throws it over the fence, it becomes an agency issue, or, well, why don't you just buy better media as an example? So it becomes a media issue when actually, and I've been saying it for so long, it's a three-way party. It's the client, the media, and the creative house. But I mean, you know, you're so correct, both of you, in terms of it starts with the client. The more competent you are, the better for everybody. Not only are you competent in yourself, you lead your team, you understand what the customer wants, but you also have your seat at the boardroom, which has been a problem for marketers for many, many years. You know, a lot of people have said, listen, you know, you guys just aren't there, you're not at the skill level, etc. And, you know, let us stop scoring own goals, you know, and let's get involved. And just one aspect is getting involved in terms of upskilling and being part of the dialogue and really confidently holding your place at the C-suite or executive level or whatever level. But I mean, being competent that you know worse off than a person from a different discipline.
I mean, Sir Chaba, so access to C-suite, we know, is increasingly a global problem, which is why recovering the chartered marketing qualification was such an important step. Do we have any unique African problems which lie outside the global challenge for marketers?
Look, one has to always understand the context in which they operate. You might sometimes be sitting in South Africa, but your brand being in the rest of the continent or even a global brand. So if one has an appreciation that their thinking needs to be global and at the same time have the sensitivity of understanding what's happening closest to them. If we look at a simple thing like a demographic, that Africa is a very young continent, the type of products and communication therefore that you develop and the creative needs to also take into consideration, even if it's just that one simple dimension of that we are a young continent and the type of stuff that we do needs to engage that audience. That's one measure. The other one is, let's say, availability of product. The logistics across the continent differs from one country to the next. And if you're going to punt communication and yet people can't have access to your product, it's a lot of wastage. So the ability to understand what are the differences within each country and what is it that you have to do, not only to get brand awareness, but also to get your brand right in front of the end consumer. So with all those taken into consideration, it stretches you to understand brand building, stretches you to understand simple supply chain and logistics, pricing or dynamic pricing, consumers in different segments, different continents. So by the time you sit back and make decisions, it's complicated, but not something that can't be done. So yeah.
Well, one of the things that you've talked about there, if you look at the logistics and supply chain, and is regional variation. And it's something which has astounded me, Doc. Maybe you can help me out on this. I mean, in North America, Europe, you know, regional marketing is a given. No? This concept of the central national campaign, for me, is obsolete. Why don't we have more consideration of regional play in terms of media and even creativity for that matter, because there's a language implication. I mean, SABC, ALS stations, for instance, are designed to facilitate regional campaigns, and yet when you buy them, you kind of aggregate to the big five because you're only looking at your national output rather than the regional play. Why is there such a reluctance to look at marketing from a regional perspective in South Africa?
That was for you.
That's why he's got that. You got the doctorate, Doug. That one was for you. Well, nice place, Chaba. You can't see, but we are breaking the law and we're fist pumping in the stadium here.
No, but I mean, from my point of view, and I mean, you may remember a few months ago we had Napster on from the Napster Collective,
yes.
And we spoke specifically around ALS and the nuances and differences as South Africans. You know, I mean, we must celebrate our togetherness and sameness, but by the same token, you know, we also look at our slight differences and nuances. And he spoke passionately about creating and I think he used Telkom as an example, very, very successful campaign. Understanding deeply the differences in cultures and subcultures as South Africans, using language in particular as the differentiator. And I'm all for that. And you know, through the years, we used ALS extensively as a medium. I mean, radio is almost in the hands of everybody. And a medium that is well understood. So I'm all for that. I'm all for the differences and the slight nuances and twists, bringing it all the way back to, you know, and we spoke about a McDonald's. So the product doesn't necessarily change that much, but certainly the communication can to some degree.
Just changing tack slightly, I mean, and I'm bringing it back to global and local national phenomena. Obviously, in recent days, we have been confronted with the reality of coronavirus. I've already noticed some of the media owners are putting out, you know, very specific notices regarding programming shifts and the fact that their sales teams will not, you know, be able to call on you on a regular basis. They're setting up online streams so you can communicate with your rep online. So there's some really proactive thinking there. So Chaba and Doc, you as well, I mean, this coronavirus thing presents some really massive challenges for marketers. I mean, what do you see? How does this thing play out from a marketing point of view?
Yeah, I feel sorry for the guys who still buy into a 5-year plan. And because now you have this situation, you have already missed your 5-year plan. So planning is challenged in an environment like this because it means that you may not necessarily be responsive and turn things quickly. Being sensitive to the context and the environment is going to be key in how marketers operate successfully. Because as we speak now, you have brands that are not available in the retail environment. And that's not necessarily the making of brand managers, but just how the consumer has panicked and has brought products and created artificial shortages. I don't see brand managers standing up or being on the side of the consumers to say our brand needs to be accessible, especially during this time of crisis, to our consumers and people who want to use it. It is irresponsible for retailers not to just step in there and allow the madness to just subside so that the brands continue to be available and accessible to people. I think it's a shame that at this point in time we don't put humanity first and we continue to just let things So brands have a responsibility to step up beyond just a good cause, to also just be, in this case, understand and appreciate that we are, as a people, as a nation, as nations, challenged, and we need their voice to come through to say, let's stop the madness.
Is that something you're going to put out from as a Masa perspective, or is that kind of outside of the mandate of Masa?
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
Look, from our members' perspective, as understanding to say that we have a responsibility not only to lead our brands successfully, but to just make sure that we are sustainable. We make sure that our brand's growth is sustainable. In a situation like this where there's going to be massive consumer confidence decline, disappointment, it is our responsibility as marketers to really step in and just buffer that and make sure that the confidence still in the brand stays there. Because who knows? Some consumers might not know that the massive buyout is in retail versus brand pushing their own volume and saying sell, 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 and not realizing that there is other partners in the relationship.
Doc, you've been an advocate of brands, you know, with conscience and responsible brands. What's your take on this? I mean, I look at the backlash from consumers on an Uber surge pricing thing, you know, consumers' backlash against that. I mean, this is like Uber, but, you know, 1,000 times worse.
Yeah. That's absolutely right. And I think, Shachaba, well, but I like the way you said it. You know, you got to be as a people, as a person, as a nation, as a humanity ahead of. And it's easy for us to sit here, but I think it is right. And I think, you know, for so long, brands write CSI purpose and start with a why and the purpose. And I'm a big advocate for that, but it's always the challenge when the chips are down. So when the times are tough, do you really act in accordance to what you've sat down and written in the quiet laboratory of your ad agency or marketing department? And I think now's the time where the world is in an absolute spin. You know, now the real true brand champions and people champions will stand up and say, listen, buy our product responsibly. You know what I mean? And already I think we've seen companies coming to the fore. You know, certain financial institutions are talking about a payment holiday. People are looking at ways to ease the burden through this. You know, companies are grappling with how do they treat staff that are remote? How do they pay, etc.? What are the brands that will profiteer rightly, and what are the brands that will profiteer in an perhaps unethical, artificial way? So absolutely right. You know, I think I'm all for brands doing the right thing, and now's no better time to do the right thing than right now.
Yeah, I think the brands that are going to do the right thing now are going to be rewarded in the long term in terms of establishing a very solid relationship and aligning themselves to either their purpose or their value. And some of us will remind those brands that didn't, so that never should they do the same thing down the line again.
Just coming back to, you know, standards and benchmarks, the World Federation of Advertisers is a body that, for me, produces some of the most remarkable thinking and sound guidelines. And I know that there had been some intention with MASA to engage with WFA, World Federation of Advertisers, to get guidelines and white papers on best practices. Have you managed to establish a contact there?
Oh, yeah. We are members and have been for quite a long time, but we have dialed that up now, because the world is so global now and the challenges are quite big, that some of the learnings can quickly be shared and we don't have to waste time. Let's take an example where, as an industry, we always want to say, how do we make sure that when we have opportunities to pitch or there are tenders out, that it's fair and that at the same time it's competitive? What are some of the global best practices? Bringing all those learnings, white papers, into South Africa so that we don't start from a blank piece of paper, but we start somewhere, and being understanding our local context, then adjusting it accordingly. Because you are right that when you have a body that's that powerful, that has done a lot of good work, that we should leverage that. So from a MASA perspective, it is a relationship that we treasure, that we believe adds a lot of value, not only to the market, but also to our members.
Yeah, and I think, for, you know, as a supplier myself to marketers, I make extensive use of those WFA white papers to try and understand what my role is. And I was just wondering whether, you know, there shouldn't be some education attached to that, to your members, that they understand the application of these things rather than them just being housed as papers. But one of the issues that the WFA has addressed, both in terms of the K2 report, but then their own guidelines on digital media anyway, if not conventional media, is the issue of ad fraud, which is now becoming talk about pandemics. I mean, this is the ad fraud is the coronavirus of the media world. I mean, what's the view of MASA on ad fraud, and how are you managing it, and what are you looking for from agencies in terms of responding positively to some of those very, very negative reports?
Yeah, I think if you look at, let's take a chartered market, for example, when you do your code of conduct, the ability to make sure that you represent the brand, you always represent yourself and organization in a most morally and ethically correct way, you then have the responsibility to make sure that the instruments that you use, or the suppliers, or the matrices, or the tools, also support that. So it puts a lot of responsibility back onto the individual market practicing marketers to really go into the detail and make sure that when somebody say they are an influencer, that truly they can influence, and those type of numbers that they show are not generated by bots. When somebody pretty much makes you an accomplice to a fraud, and by definition extending it into the way what you do becomes problematic. So you have to even be more vigilant to not be scammed, and by definition waste the brand's budget, the brand money, because you are not really reaching the type of audiences or targets that you have been set. It is unfortunate, and we need to be smarter in spotting it and calling it out and dealing with it.
And sort of batting this one onto the doc, because I mean, one of the most interesting developments in the last week or so has been Uber cutting 120 million off its 150 million rand media budget, digital media budget, which made no impact at all on the bottom line. So, Doc, I mean, let's move into the area of return on investment and as a marketer, what are you looking for when you engage with a creative agency or media agency on an ROI scale rather than the conventional metric of, look at the discount I gave you?
Yeah, Gordon, I mean, the discount is one factor, and I think, we spoke again on previous podcasts about the rising role of procurement in appointment, et cetera, and governance and return on investment. So I don't think in certainly in my lifetime that the fee versus the discount will ever go away. But I mean, in addition to that, we've looked at a whole lot of different sort of attribution models through the years. A top line brand equity done independently by outside companies, all the way through to, how much can you attribute to various parts of your spend versus an uplift in sales, etc. So the challenge, of course, is when you do multiple things like a lot of big brands do across multiple channels, it's difficult. If I look just at digital, and certainly the way it's grown and continues to grow, and you spoke ad fraud, etc., that is a measurable thing. And I look back at the old school, and I will remember 20 years ago, it was tear sheets. I'd physically sit and look through newspaper tear sheets that you could at least see in that. The challenge now is an incumbent on all parties, certainly the client as well as the media agency, to produce that digital footprint, and it's there, and to make sure that you're not scammed, that you wisened up as a media agency to understand, one, so it's a question of being astute, and two, being ethical. And again, we've touched on these issues. To me, those are always the two fundamentals. It's about knowledge, upskilling, and continuously so, as scamsters continue to upskill, you need to, and secondly, having the ethics and the morals to be able to produce the right report for your client. That often, in many cases, look at myself, I was certainly not skilled in media, and that's why we had very, very big media houses to help us with it and to be jointly part of that ROI discussion, because the upside they would share, you got to also share on the downside or share on the muddy water side. Be big enough to say, I'm not sure, and we're going to navigate through this together to get to a proper ROI.
Yeah, and that's where the regional marketing opportunity comes in, because you can test market on a regional basis to get a sense of what proportion of the mix contributes to ROI. So, Chava, you're looking enthusiastically keen to chip in here.
Yeah, because the beauty about being competent is you also know what you don't know. Now, if you are incompetent, sometimes you don't even know what you don't know. So as a result, you don't even know when to put your hand up and say, I need a media partner to help me think deep about this particular issue, and or a strategist, whatever that partner is, because you know where your limitations are. So it's almost like the danger of somebody who's half competent. They have the confidence to do something, but they actually can't do it, and they don't even have the wisdom to pause and say, I need help, so that in the end, the benefit accrues to the brand as well as the business, and we can stop this wastage.
Yeah, from the media side, I mean, I blame us to a large degree for our own sort of demise as a pillar of the marketing discipline. We have not gone out of our way to explain to brand managers what media does and why there is a degree of excellence required to do a good job. We need to up our game there.
Yeah, I mean, quick one there is, I was to ask you to say, in terms of anybody who's gone through some marketing training, how much time did they actually spend on media?
Yeah.
And as a result, it's so like, I don't know it, therefore let me not even worry about it. So you are right that there needs to be an upping of the skill set. And an emphasis to educate marketers, because the spend that goes towards media is huge.
It's huge, and I mean, really, that's something. But as I say, that's something we will maybe explore via the Doc and Guru podcast at some future point. So we would really like to encourage any of the listeners out there to engage with us, raise any issues with us. So Chaba, they can get hold of you on the MASA
website,
which is fully functioning. So that's the best place to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, and then just we were going to get there, but we won't have time today. But there's obviously we've been waiting for a while for the new map survey to come out. We understand it's hit the field. Is it in the last week? When did it go into field? It's begun at least.
Yeah, it's in field. The launch into the industry, so that everybody is on the same page, was going to be tomorrow.
Yeah.
But of course, on Sunday, the president announced some restrictions which the industry and many other players are still trying to understand. We're going to get more than 100 people, given how big MAPS is to marketers and brands. So that launch is going to be virtual now. But yeah, we are in field, and for any of the brands that haven't signed up for good quality research that will help them in their decision making, I'll still encourage them to reach out, and then so that they can sign up and have good quality data to use in their decision making.
So that's great. So I'm going to hand over to the doctor and let him wrap it up from his marketing perspective. But so we'll do that in a later show, because that really is a massively important development. It's just a pity, obviously, that the launch was postponed. But it's in field. That's the good news. So the game is on. So, Doc, I'm going to say cheers to both of you, and you can do the wrap for us this week.
Yeah, thanks, Gordon. And I think just the last point from my side, and just to reiterate that ROI discussion, let's do it ourselves and then not cry when finance people, procurement people, strategy people get involved. Because why do they get involved? Most times, in my experience, they get involved because they've lost confidence in the discipline, or they think we as marketers don't know what we're doing, and we're good at spending, but not so good at showing the returns. So it's about education. It's about research, really understanding it, and don't get the research so you can collect the research report. You know, I must be honest, I've been guilty of that as well. You know, you get the report, you don't work through it, but you always feel better because you have it. It's just crazy. Get the work, work through the work, and become better as a marketer and more professional. So I think that's it from our side. So, Chaba, thanks very much for your time. We really appreciate it and the good work that you guys are doing. I promise that I will go onto the site. I'll reinstate my status and be an active member as a chartered marketer for South Africa. Thank you. Again, thanks very much from my side. And until next week, if you haven't already, please subscribe. Get on. It's free. All you're going to do is make sure you don't miss an episode of the Doc and the Guru podcast. Like us on Facebook, get on LinkedIn, get involved, be part of the discussion. As Gordon and I always say, it's not about the two of us just chatting to very interesting guests. That's part of it. It's obviously having the dialogue with all South Africans, and for that matter, for those listeners from abroad. From my side, Doug Mateus, it's always great, and we'll catch you next week.
And it's goodbye from the Guru.
And so that was another episode of the Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get a hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get a hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mateus. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views, and certainly will respond, and hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.